Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is simply, The Church Needs Power. Based on Acts chapter 2, our reading for today, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came down from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, our title, The Church Needs Power. You'll find your outline this morning, a green insert in your bulletin. Well, I recently added up the numbers, and I discovered that there are more than 101 Christian churches in Richmond and the South Delta area. That's a pretty big number. It averages out to be one church for about every 250 women and men, boys and girls. These churches represent many different denominations, many different types of architecture, many different worship styles. But the one question I have for you is this: how can we have so many churches and so much suffering and pain at the same time? How can we have so many churches and so much crime, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, violence, family trouble, and youth trouble? You'd think with so many churches in our area, conditions would be better than they are, but that doesn't seem to be the case. The church is supposed to be a city set on a hill so everyone can see the light of Christ. The city is supposed to be the salt of the earth to give hope and preservation to people all around. The church is supposed to be a wellspring of hope and healing. But it doesn't seem to be the case. Despite the number of Christian churches, it seems that our influence on civic life and social problems is minimal. I have only one thing to say about this today. The church needs power. We don't need new music or new pews as much as we need new power. We don't need new buildings as much as we need some spiritual life inside the people in the buildings we already have. We don't need new and fun events as much as we need a new revival in each of our hearts. We have pastors, we have programs, we have potlucks, but they seem to have little influence beyond the walls in which they're held. They seem to touch the lives of few people who live outside the doors in our community in which the churches are built. When I was a seminary professor, I told the new graduates that when they became a new pastor and they entered the first community of their first church, they should ask their neighbors, the people in the grocery stores, the folks they pass on the street, this question: what do you know about the Lutheran church in town? And hopefully the answer would not be, there's a Lutheran church in town? When I've asked the same questions here in our community, here are some of the answers I've gotten about Trinity. Oh, that's the church with the big A-frame and stained glass windows. That's the church with the new red sign. And that's the church that gives away free hot dogs. A reference to Open Doors Richmond. Now, on the one hand, it's nice to know that our neighbors realize we're here. There's certainly nothing wrong with A-frames, stained glass, church signs, and hot dogs. But is this what we want our church to be known for? In a community filled with sin and heartache and separation from God. There are spiritual needs all around us. There are people dying and literally going to hell every day. And these needs will not be met with stained glass or hot dogs. They can only be addressed with the very power of God. Today's church needs power. Our church needs power. Now, this is not the first time the Christian church has been without the power it's needed to transform the community in which it was located. The same thing can be said of the New Jerusalem church in the first century. This is described by the opening lines of the book of Acts. We just read it today. Listen again. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came down from heaven a rush like a mighty wind, and it filled the entire place where they were sitting, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus had just risen. He ascended back into heaven. The whole world was awaiting the gospel message, the message of Jesus' victory over sin, his victory over death, his victory over the devil, but not a sound could be heard. The disciples with whom Jesus had spent so many years, the disciples Jesus had personally trained, were hiding in a closed room, hiding from the very people that needed to hear the message. They were doing some things that we're good at today, whispering to each other behind locked doors the good news, rather than shouting to Jerusalem the message of a Savior who loved them and gave his life for them. Right outside the doors of the disciples were the crippled, were the sick. Right outside the doors in Jerusalem were those who were spiritually hungry. Right outside their doors were Roman soldiers of war who desperately needed to learn about the message of the Prince of Peace. Right outside their doors were religious people going through the motions. Reminds me of the Five Road. Going through all kinds of religious motions, but who were ignorant of the Savior who had come. But these disciples in Jerusalem couldn't offer their world anything because they had no power. But thank God, on that day of Pentecost, something happened that transformed those men in that room, and they in turn went out of those locked doors. And as Acts 17:6 said, these were the men who turned the world upside down. What happened on that first Pentecost day that today's church should not just remember and think about, but pray to God would happen to us again right now? The Holy Spirit of God fell upon them in a powerful way. These men were given God's own power as they left the doors where they were gathered to share the news with their community. Now remember, what do you remember about these disciples? They were not educated men. They did not go to seminary. They didn't have more degrees than they needed, like some of us fools have. They were blue-collar workers. The only language they spoke was their own Hebrew language, and that probably not very well. But by a miracle of God, people of many different countries, from many different lands, heard them preach the good news of Jesus in their many different languages all at the same time with no need for a translator. Listen to Acts chapter 2, 7 and following. And there were in Jerusalem that day devout people from every nation under heaven. And the multitude was amazed because each one was hearing the apostles speak in his own language the mighty works of God. The power of God came upon them in a mighty way as the good news of Jesus, the gospel, was being preached. And as St. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of God. It is the power of God to salvation for all who believe. By the end of that day, Peter had a day every preacher could only dream of. In one sermon, Acts 2 tells us, 3,000 people came to saving faith in Jesus. 3,000 people's eternities were changed forever. And all this happened because men who had no influence, men who had no power, had been filled with the Holy Spirit. Now they could preach with power. Now they could pray with power. Now they could witness with power because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Dear God, pour your Spirit upon us today. On this Pentecost day. I'm a little wound up, aren't I, today? Woo! On this Pentecost day, I'm inviting each one of you here to pray with me that God would do the same thing for us today. I'm asking you to join with me in prayer that God would wake us up. Wake us up and make us alive so that our church and all other Christian churches around us would have the power that's needed to address the needs in our community today. Take a look at your own families, your own loved ones. The longer I'm here, the more I'm getting to know your needs, your heartaches, your challenges. Multiply that 10,000 times, and you've got a picture of the challenges in the lives of people who don't even know Jesus and his love for them. My God, the church needs power. Those men that left the upper room that day to preach the gospel were so excited that some people thought they were drunk on wine. Listen to the text. Acts 2 says, some made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. Now, certainly, none of us want to appear publicly intoxicated. But how nice it would be for each of us here, for staid, somber Lutherans, to have our hearts set on fire for Jesus. Did you notice? My red stoles. Thank you, Carol, for quickly coming up and putting our red paraments on. Red is the color of the fire of the Spirit. Pentecost fire. Today in this place, we need the fire of the Spirit to fall upon us. It's so easy for each of us to become complacent, to become satisfied, to become lazy. Now, here's where I quit preaching and start meddling. It's so easy for us to say, just show up on Sunday morning and know there's going to be a service, there'll be a sermon, there'll be a few laughs, it'll be nice, I'll put my hour in and I'm gone and that's it. The Spirit of God needs to fall upon each of our hearts that we know Sunday morning is just the place we get equipped and strengthened to live as God's people in our world, who need the touch of Jesus so desperately. You are the hands and feet of Jesus. You are the mouth he's chosen to speak for him, for the sake of the world. Dear God, please let what happened to St. Peter happen to us. Before Pentecost, you remember Peter? Before Pentecost, the last anyone heard from him, he denied Jesus 3 times before the rooster crowed once. But now, filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter preaches a Pentecost sermon that saves 3,000 souls. What a difference. Dear God, give us that same spirit and boldness today. Dear God, help Trinity Lutheran Congregation make a difference in this community. God, your church needs your power. This past Tuesday, Beverly and I were 7 hours in room 22 of the north wing of Surrey Memorial Hospital with my dear friend and his family, Pastor Kwan Soo Kim, pastor of Faith Lutheran in Surrey. We were there holding on to him and holding on to his wife and children as he took his last breath and went to heaven. We were there with his loved ones, both thanking God for the gift of heaven and thanking God that his suffering caused by cancer was finished. Suppose that we here at Trinity had discovered a cure for cancer. Just imagine, a cure for one of the worst killers of people all over the world. A cure for that damnable disease that's taken so many of our loved ones. A cure for that damnable disease that continues to plague us today. And we have a cure. Sharing that cure would mean the end of cancer for all time. And it wouldn't cost us a dime. It'd be absolutely free. What would we do? Tell me, what would we do? We'd share it. We'd give it away. We simply couldn't keep it to ourselves. It would mean life for the world. My friends, the truth is, we have a cure for something far worse than cancer. We have a cure for something much worse than an earthly illness. We have a cure for sin. We have a cure for death. We have a cure for eternal separation from God. This cure is the great physician himself. His name is Jesus. What was it that Peter preached that turned the world upside down? What was it that Peter preached that saved 3,000 people from an eternity apart from God? What was it that Peter preached that still needs to be preached today to give people strength, to give people hope? What is it that alone is your hope? That alone is the hope of Richmond? That alone is the hope of Canada? That alone is the hope of the world? His name is Jesus. On that cross, Jesus defeated sin. On that cross, Jesus defeated the devil. On that cross, Jesus defeated death. On that cross, Jesus, the precious Son of God, gave his life for you and settled your eternal account with God. The Bible tells us clearly, the wages of sin is death. The wages that should be paid each of us because of our sin is eternal death and hell. But in his love for each of us, the Father sent his Son to settle your account. And on that cross, your account was settled. As Jesus said, it is finished, paid in full. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah put it this way. Speaking of Jesus, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. By his wounds, we are healed. There's a lot of healing that needs to be done today. Sin healing, emotional healing, family healing. Jesus can heal Richmond today. Jesus can heal our lives and our families today. Who will get the word out? I want you to think about right now. I want you to think about what the Lord has done in your life. And if he has blessed you, let the world know it. If he has made a way for you when there was no way, let the world know it. If you were sick and he healed you, let the world know it. If you were laid low but he restored your joy, let the world know it. If you were frightened but your Jesus remained right by your side and saw you through it, let the world know it. Psalm 107 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Imagine. And now we're rounding third, heading toward home on this message. Imagine the impact in our community if each of the 395 baptized members of this congregation would let one other person know what Jesus has done for them. Would you please bow your heads with me now? For prayer. Dear God, today, on this day of Pentecost, call down your Holy Spirit upon us that we might have your power to impact our world. Open the doors of our church building so that the good news of Jesus we share with each other week after week inside this building might spill out into the streets of Richmond and the world in which we live. Give us, O Lord, we pray, a personal, holy burden for people in need of your love and your healing. Dear Lord, you have blessed us as a congregation, but help us here at Trinity not to be complacent or satisfied or unwilling to take risks. Lord, give us your power for Jesus' sake and for the sake of our world. Amen.